Welcome again to Among the Realms, coming to you from the Trinity Metaphysical Center. And we're located at Hardeston Plaza North on Route 23 in Hamburg, New Jersey. And with me tonight, we have Charlie, and we have Dana, and of course, Jackie, the proprietress of the Trinity Metaphysical. So why don't you tell us what goes on here at Trinity? We do this every week, but for those of you that are just tuning in.
A little bit of everything. So we do readings, we do healing, we do massage therapy, we do psychic art, we do chakra balancing, dream interpretation, we do workshops in psychic development. What else do we do? A little bit of everything.
And second Friday of every month, we have Bring a Friend.
Yep, that's when we have all of our services at a discounted price. And all of our practitioners are here, so you can come and try us out. We do 20-minute sessions, and that's from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. the second Friday of every month.
So this is your one-stop shopping for all things spiritual.
Yes, and we have a gift shop.
And also physical, because we have a massage therapist as well.
Yes.
And, Trinity Metaphysical is also the home of the Crypt Ghost Hunters, the East Coast Research and Investigation Paranormal Team. And if you need anything investigated, you can contact us at the Trinity Metaphysical Center. And the phone number here is 973-209-7070. And all investigations are free of charge. So if you want your spirits removed or you just want someone to prove you're not crazy, we are available. Let's see, what are we talking about tonight, Jackie?
So tonight we're talking about astral travel and remote viewing. And they're similar, but they're different. So the biggest thing is what the differences are between them. Astral travel is when you're putting your consciousness on the astral plane, and remote viewing is when it's on the earth plane. So for people who are familiar with astral travel or astral projection, that's when, or like you're having an out-of-body experience. So it's when you're actually able to project yourself into the astral plane and work in that area. For some people, you hear them talking about floating around or flying around, or when you're able to do that, you're able to go wherever you want. Some people go to, up high above to visit, people have crossed over. Some people just like to go to other countries. Some people like to go visit their family members or friends, which is what my sister used to do with me. And some people actually use it for healing. So they heal themselves from the astral plane, and they actually heal, their physical body. Whereas remote viewing is when you're actually here and you're conscious of what you're doing, and you're able to go into a room or go into a house or go into a place and see that snapshot of that place and that type of thing. So we're going to discuss what some of us have been able to do and what the difference is, like when they remote viewed or when they did astral travel. And I'll also talk about some techniques or, exercises people can do to help work on that.
So when your sister did it to you, did you actually see your sister? Or
no. Some people can if they're conscious of it. But, No, she used to in fact, I was one of those people. I used to think she was crazy way back then. But she used to tell me that she'd come visit me, when I was sleeping. And the one time I was like, yeah, right. And she was like, no, you were sleeping. And she described exactly what I was wearing. And she said, and you had your purple teddy bear. And I'm in my 30s at that time, or 20s. And I was like, that's creepy. I'm like, you're telling me you're in my bedroom in the middle of the night and you see what I'm doing. And I'm like, don't do that. Don't do that. But it's like, I knew that stuff was real, obviously, because it was in my family. But my sister at that time was one who totally delved into that. Like, she was able to put herself into an astral travel meditation just by sitting, Indian style and going into a meditation, sitting right there in the middle of the floor. she had gotten that down really good. And she used to say she'd go visit my grandmother and everything else. So, you know, that wasn't something at that time that I knew I was doing, even though I was. So I wasn't conscious of where she was more aware of what she was doing until I realized that I was doing the same thing and then started remembering it and then using it and then working on it. You know, then you learn how to control it, and then you realize you're doing that. So, so that's usually how how it comes about. Because sometimes people don't even know they're doing it. You know, they don't know that they're astral traveling. And a lot of times, you've heard that. Like, if there's anybody who watched Sylvia Brown a lot on Montel Williams, she would always get the people that would come up to the microphone and say, I feel it feels weird. I feel like I can't breathe and like I'm being sucked out of my body. And she's like, you're astral traveling, honey. It's something that's scary sometimes for people when they don't know how to do it. And I know some of you can talk about some of the experiences you have with that or not. Because even yours going into your scary room is is something to talk about.
Well, I've actually only had one real one. I wasn't trying to do it. But I was having a dream, which was definitely a dream. And then the next thing, I was at a party, and I walked out of the house. And when I walked out of the house, I was someplace else, but it was real. It was 3D in color. And I was just so amazed that I was walking down the street, of private residences, but they had these big fences. But they had these beautiful trees and flowers hanging over the fences. And I didn't know where I was. And so I thought, well, if I go down to the end of the street, there might be a street sign. Then it'll tell me where I am. And but the flowers and everything were just beautiful. And I walked down, and I was just remember being so amazed that I was really there. And I was running my hand along the wood on the fences and got a splinter. Yeah. And was feeling the leaves and smelling the flowers. And I started walking down towards the end of the street, and I remember thinking, you know, oh, my God, how do I get back? And as soon as that happened, I got sucked right back.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the tips. Everybody needs to know when they're conscious of doing this that they're not – they can't have any fear. So they can't be afraid of dying or that they're not going to come back. Because we all have that silver, invisible,
cord attaching us.
You didn't know you were doing it.
Yeah.
So when people are – that's one of the things – a lot of people have a hard time with this kind of thing.
And I actually wasn't afraid. It was just like, oh, how do I get back from here?
Yep.
And that was it. Then it was over.
Yeah. Well, most of the like techniques or exercises, tips that I give people is, number one, they have to have a desire to do it. Number two is not to let fear take them over. So they have to know that they're always going to be able to come back. They're not going to be lost out into the astral world. Concentration, that's usually the biggest obstacle, so being able to focus and concentrate. A lot of people who have a hard time meditating or dumping their stuff from the day have a hard time with the concentration end, which also goes in hand with the focus. So being able to focus on something specific. And then the relaxation. So, because we relax the body, not the mind. So your mind is still conscious, and you're able to kind of, work with it, but you don't feel your body. So your body is, at rest, and your mind is still going. So
I felt like I had a body in mind, though. I was actually physically
there. Well, you're
going
to feel like...
And I was walking down the street. So
yeah.
I felt like I had a body. So I didn't... I just knew that I was someplace else.
Someplace else, and you weren't...
And I wasn't.
You weren't
I didn't
regular.
Know what it was. Well, I was really young. I was like, back when
right.
I still used to party, because I had been at a party.
And then the separation part, because when you separate from your physical body to the astral body,
I never felt that though.
But some people do. Some people do just go right into it. But other people, it's like traumatizing to them at first, because they're being jerked out of their body, or they feel vibrations, or they hear weird noises. So it's kind of when you know a lot of what's going on and you've researched it a little bit and you know, that kind of thing.
Hi, is there somebody here on the line? I can briefly hear you, but I really can't hear what you're saying. Is anyone there?
Can you hear anything? Mute microphone? No, hang on a second. No, did you hit the microphone button?
Yes.
Okay. Can't hear him?
No, I can't hear anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting anything.
We're having a problem with the call-in.
We got so many people calling in. We're trying to keep this straight, so just bear with us, okay?
But the,
I think
the,
it's blowing, the whole thing here. We got, like, you know, too many people calling it.
When I was finished with the dream part, I just automatically, as soon as I stepped out of the house, it was like Dorothy coming out of the black and white house into the color.
The color, right?
Yeah, so it kind of felt like that. And I remember turning around, and the house that I was in wasn't there.
Is that when you saw the red shoes?
No, I was wearing the red dress.
Okay.
And then
didn't the house fall on you?
I know that's what some people think.
Hey, let me talk about the astral travel stuff there. Just because, you know, I've been here for a couple of years now, and we didn't do a whole lot of astral travel. But I just started getting into getting out of my body to do the astral travel. And, you know, the first time it happens, you know, you're not really sure if, well, at least I wasn't really sure if it really happened or not. But all of a sudden I was above looking down instead of, you know, being me anywhere. And then it seemed like I could almost fly. I could be somewhere instantly, and it was really great. But the second time when I was trying to get out of my body, actually it was probably more than the second time. First time I got out, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
That was after a couple of tries. And then I couldn't get out a couple of times. And then the next time when I tried to get out, I told Jackie I felt like I had to be like in a, almost like in a hammock or a slingshot or something.
Yeah.
And I shot myself out because I wasn't being, I couldn't climb out, I couldn't hover out, I couldn't float out, I couldn't pull myself out. And I envisioned myself in a hammock. And all of a sudden I envisioned myself coming up to one side and being shot out of that hammock, and all of a sudden then I was out. But at that point, you know, I spent all my time so hard trying to get out that Jackie was now bringing us back. So I really didn't get anywhere except like the second floor of the building we're in. But I mean, astral travel is truly, I don't know, I think it's a form of meditation in itself.
Oh yeah,
because
absolutely.
You feel everything, you see everything, you know what's going on. And I was just wondering if it was my imagination or if it really was traveling. And I tell you what, I don't think I could figure out what the top of this building looks like without being up there. So that was kind of nice. That was nice. The remote viewing, I don't know if I can do that just yet. I'm going to keep trying, but I'm going to do something about
the remote
viewing.
You guys were working on it last night. You did pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that nothing's impossible.
They're the two
okay?
toughest things to, two of the toughest abilities
right.
to get down. And one of the things, which we'll have a discussion in the future, probably in a couple of episodes from now, of like what, you know, what we feel are more difficult abilities to work on. And where some people find something very difficult, it comes so easy for others. But it's neat in our, you know, as you're developing, to find which ones are your forte or which ones or your strengths, which ones need a little more work. But we've been so well-rounded with it, it's really good, because we're working
yeah.
on a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing to bring up, just like what you were saying, where these two things, astral travel and remote viewing, are two of the toughest.
Right.
You know, and I feel they're tougher than mediumship, at least to me. And I know there's some people that can get the mediumship super easy, where the astral travel, it's so hard for them to separate from their physical body to their astral body. Or, you know, they can get, you know, messages and information from somebody who's crossed over, where other people might think the mediumship is super hard, because it's another thing of, it's really just opening yourself up and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And really that's all it is. And I know I say that all the time, but it's your relaxed energy, and you need to meditate or be in that state of mind all the the time. So you got to keep, which you guys do, you know, you get a meditation every week. Some of you get energy work every week. You're always, you know, working on that stuff. So it's you're conditioning it. So that's why you're able to eventually work on these things. But astral travel is tough. You know, and getting the head out is the toughest. But for some people, they just shoot right out. Like Vera just shoots right out. You know, and I don't have that problem. Like, I don't feel my body separating. I'm just there. And for me, I go more to, like, you know, visiting up above. So, you know, it's and some people actually go into the future. This is all neat.
I was going to bring that up about Dana. When she did astral travel, she went, where'd you go, like 2,934 or something? Where were you? Where'd you go?
Well, it was hard to say. It was like I was in a meditative state, and I was laying there with my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I realized that I'm looking into a portal that is alive, something live is going on there, and I'm laying on the floor thinking, this is real. I'm seeing something totally real. And I know I'm here on the floor, you know, meditating. I know it's, you know, I know where I am, but I also know what I'm seeing, and I cannot believe what I'm seeing because it astounded me. And it was a vision through a porthole into a real-life action thing, and it looked futuristic to me. It looked like a laboratory or something strange. Everybody was dressed in white, and then the leader of the group was dressed in white with a shiny teardrop-shaped helmet, and he was looking out at the portal at me. And I was thinking, and I know my mouth is open. I'm laying on the floor, my mouth is open. I said, this is something like, I've never had this experience before in my life. And it was like, I had gone someplace, or I had seen through a hole in time, and I was totally convinced. I mean, I'm totally convinced. I will never forget this as long as I live in America.
So you have no idea what year it was, or it was somewhere obviously in the future,
yeah.
Right?
Well, or a different place.
Different place.
Maybe a different plane. A different plane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, it could have been now, but it wasn't of this area where I'm living now. But it was just the most remarkable thing I have ever seen in my life.
So if it was in this plane, you're telling us that there is life after Obamacare? I'm only kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
You know, I don't think anybody...
There isn't?
I don't think anybody was dead here.
Okay. You know, I think it's like when people talk about alternate reality.
I think it's a parallel. Maybe it's a parallel.
Yeah, parallel.
Well, there's so many planes.
I broke through the skin that's in me. Mm-hmm. Somehow I was able to see through a thinness in the skin.
That's so cool.
Of the plane, and it's like, I mean, I cannot astral project. Maybe that was astral projection. I mean, I can't get out of my body, and I can't do the other thing either.
Remember the last time even you did see your hands?
Oh, I saw my hands.
That was a big, huge thing. Because we work on where you lift your astral hands, you lift your astral feet, like we work parts of your body getting out, and for anybody to get their hands and get the hand out, or something, that's huge. Because some people can't do it at all.
But that's not that.
No matter how hard they try. And most people are astral projecting and traveling, and they don't even know it. And a lot of times it is in their dream state.
Mm.
It is at times when they're not expecting it. So when they say they've never done it, or they don't do it, 99% of us have. And we just don't remember it. We don't know we're doing it.
We don't recognize it, it is, yeah.
Absolutely. So,
but you think it's just a dream.
Well, those lucid dreams where you know you're in a space.
Yeah.
You know that you know you're someplace else, and you know you're dreaming, and you know this while you're in that space. I mean, that could be part of it too.
Well, and some people they don't know the difference. Like when there's a big difference between dreaming and visitation, or astral traveling. You know, it's not the same. And dreams usually will give you things that happen and symbols and things like that where you can figure out what's going on in your subconscious. When you feel like you're in it, mm-hmm. and you could almost touch it, like it's all real, and you're speaking to people and you're seeing, like that's completely
different. And you feel it.
It's a different feeling.
Yeah.
And that's what we learn, though. We learn how to distinguish the differences. And I think that's the biggest thing Well, that's a great thing about the metaphysical, is that we learn to become aware of every little thing we do, every little piece of information we get.
It's a constant learning process. I mean, it's like, you're still not sure when you, you know, and you can always, it's weird because things start to grow, like you get more and more and more, and then you're doing things you can't even figure out, like, how am I doing that? Like, what is that? Like, when was I able to do that? or it's coming quicker. You know, or maybe it's more detailed, or maybe it's more intense. Everybody's different.
Intense, yes.
And it's neat. You know, I think everybody, even from the last couple of years, the growth that I've seen, but this, every time we do an astral travel or something like that, I know it's more advanced, and it's a tough one to do. But you guys, when we did some remote viewing with, like, I would put an object in one of the rooms, mm-hmm. and they'd have to describe what they see. They didn't know what the object was or what room I put it in. And there were some phenomenal, you know, experiences with that, because even the one time you got Dana got exactly, you know, what it was sitting on,
the color,
the
plant.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you know, where you might say you have a harder time with astral travel, when you're working on the earth plane, you're great.
Not always.
But, you know, I think it's neat how we're able to do that.
But I can always find my keys, too, when I stop thinking about it.
That's the one thing I always use as a description.
No, she does. She describes that if you lose your keys and just focus where they are. And if I just let go of things, I just walk around the room, and I don't even think about it. I said, okay, I know it, and I walk straight to them. I know where they are without even thinking about it. It just sort of pops into my mind. And it's a strange, you know, it's bizarre places sometimes.
Well, because you're seeing it. And I did that once myself. No matter how much, even teaching it to people, even I get into that. I remember I had a ring for my mom that when she was in Hawaii, and the pearl came out of the setting. And I was in my kitchen when it happened, and I heard it fall, and I went into panic mode because I didn't have a lot of stuff left for my mom since she's crossed over. And I was like, oh, my God. It was a pearl. So all I'm thinking is, oh, my God, God knows where it rolled. You know, and then was it under the stove? Was it under the refrigerator? And I'm flipping out, and then I stopped. All of a sudden, I thought, I'm like, what are you doing? Stop and sit. Like, and I'm like telling myself what I tell everybody else. I'm like, wait a minute. Because when you're all in a tizzy, you can't get your information. So I took three deep breaths. I focused, and I got myself, and I closed my eyes, and I said, okay, I need to know where that pearl is. And sure enough, I saw it. I saw my linoleum floor from my sun porch, which was the fact that it could have rolled all the way over, all the way out there and to the side, because I saw exactly where it was by the sliding glass door. That's how far away. And I'm going, there's no way it's there. And sure enough, there it was, right there. I'm like, oh, see, that's all you got to do is use it. I call it my juju. I'm like, you just got to use, you know, get yourself into a composed state and focus.
I was sort of known among a couple of my friends that I'd go into a total stranger's house, and I could walk in the house, and I could walk straight. If we needed something, I could walk straight to the drawer and find it. And I didn't, she said, how'd you do that? I said, well, that's where it is. You know, and without even thinking about it, I could just walk in, open the first door, and there it is, whatever it is. In somebody's house I'd never been in before.
Yep.
And it was like, people thought it was a little strange.
I wanted to preface this, okay, with a warning. Okay.
She is straight.
No. The warning is that I want you to understand that, you know, Jackie's been in business a long time. She hasn't been in business for like 6 months or a year or whatever. And she guides you through these things. It's not something that you should do with an amateur. Okay. This shop's been here. This
you
shop
probably
has been
couldn't
here
do with an amateur
for like 4 years. And Jackie's been doing this for a lot longer. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to do it with somebody who knows what they're doing, knows how to guide you through it, knows, can tell you what to expect so that, you know, you just don't freak out when it does happen.
Yeah. Well, I teach how it was easier for me. And believe me, a lot of it's trial and error at times, too. But I like to teach how I learned, because I think it's where it's not strict textbook, you know, where everybody kind of goes with the same guidelines, because not everybody's like that. Everybody's different. Everybody works at a different level. Everybody has strengths in different areas. And I think one of the things that helps me with teaching is that, like, I can read energy, so I'm able to tune into that person and know what works for them. And I,
I never realized it to that degree until I realized, you know, how when I'm working with people and I'm giving them suggestions individually, like, this is what your block is, or this is what, you know, what your strength is, you know, and I think once they're okay with what their strength is, it doesn't matter if they're a little bit, if they have to work a little bit harder on one of the other skills, you know, because, oh, I'm really good with this, so I just have to work a little bit more on this. which I think is which one of the good things. Vera's taking pictures right now. I mean, Dave's
Vera.
Taking pictures. Oh, that must mean Vera's going to be calling in. Ah, it's 7:30.
Look out.
Which we'll find out when Dana's finished. Yeah, actually, Vera's had some awesome experiences with astral travel. And even, like, what she did with some of the classes where she would... You know, which is one of the good things you could do when you're practicing this, even at home, is to call a friend or a family member or something and have them leave something without telling you what it is in a room. And when you go to astral travel and work on that, you can go to that place and then tell the person what it is you saw and see if it's right. You know, so that's something that she does a lot when we have class, where she'll, that, you know, it's a good idea to do that. So, I mean, I haven't...
Yeah, she'll set it up ahead of time, saying, do something at this time, and I'm going to come and see if I can visit you.
Yeah. Well, it's good, too, because it's practice, and that's what this is all about. And when you're doing it, like Charles said, there's no set way in how you're going to get out of your body. For the most part, when you're doing an astral travel, going into a really deep, relaxing meditation, relaxing your entire physical body, breathing is very important. And then for some people, the rolling out method is a lot easier, where you roll out of your body. Some people like to just, like Charlie did, they propel themselves out. And some people actually have to feel like they have to pull, subconsciously, they have to pull themselves out. So they'll lean on like a table or something next to them, and then they'll literally pull themselves up. So there's all different ways on how you're going to do it. And some people, they don't even know how they got out. They just end up, when I'm like, take yourself out of your body, they end up, you know, they end up out there. Hello?
What are we looking at outside there? Something strange going on out there? No.
Yeah.
We can't get any more people in the studio here, so no. We got to stay out there.
Oh, sure.
We have a call.
Okay, Vera's calling in.
All right, we'll try to talk to Vera.
Vera's going to talk about
I had a friend who told me this story about... Oh, Vera, are you there?
Yeah, I heard my name taken in vain.
Hi, Vera.
Hey, Vera.
Hi.
So you called to set the record straight?
No. I called to remind Charlie that the time before that, he went after traveling. He looked down at his hands and there were feathers or wings.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that, Charlie?
Ape shifting?
Well... Then I went and did research and found out, like, shape-shifting is the thing, like, one step after astral projection. But you didn't know that at the time when you told us that. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah,
do you remember?
I remember, yeah, totally I remember it. It's just that I didn't think I could go that fast that far.
I know. It's, like, really good.
You
just goes to show you.
He had a great astral travel experience.
I wish I could fly. I haven't been able to do it at will. So
we were talking about how you set up your ahead of time with your friend.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend in Hawaii, and I have a friend who lives in New Jersey. I live in Pennsylvania, and I usually tell them to leave something somewhere for me to look for, and they'll... couple times I've done it. I've seen what it was. You know, the first time in Hawaii, she left, I said, leave something on the bed, and I'd never been to this particular house. She had moved. And I did the astral travel meditation with you, and I saw something flash a light, and in my mind I said, oh, it's a crystal like that. You know, and I came back and called her afterwards, an hour or so, and she said, yeah, she had left a crystal on her bed. So I thought that was interesting. And then a few times after that, I told her she was going to be in a meeting, and I told her to put something in front of her, and she put her camera in front of her, and when I went where the meeting was, I saw the camera in front of her and called her and told her, and it was really weird because you don't think you're able to do that, but, you know, you are. It's kind of
well, because you were relaxed. You know,
you don't
think so much about it. You go into that, you know, just, okay, I'm open, let's do it.
Well, that's because it's enjoyable. To me, it's something I look forward to doing. I always make it like I'm flying, so I like that sensation, you know, of going through and visiting someplace. And to me, it's the process is enjoyable. So I never have, like, a problem. Like, some people say it's so tough to get out of their body. I'm just like, I'm out and flying around, you know. So.
And how long has it been since you've known you've been able to do that?
At least 20 years. Yeah, I was just married to Dave, and I started doing, you know, I started researching different things like that and got involved with Louise L. Hay and how she says your mind, you know, over matter kind of thing, and you can heal your life, and basically how your mind is in charge of everything, and it was a wonderful, wonderful idea for me, and so I researched other things, so that's when I started doing it. I didn't do it for a long time, and then when I got interested with, you know, eCrypt and Trinity Metaphysical, I started doing it again. I forgot how much I had enjoyed it, and it was just, it's a great experience if you can do it. And I never did remote viewing until yesterday.
Oh, really?
So it was kind of like you explaining the difference was very good for me, that I knew one was like earthly. So like when I do astral projection, I think of flying somewhere, you know, or going up in the air. But when I do remote viewing or when I did that, I was just walking and seeing the address you gave us.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't very... It, to me, it wasn't ethereal at all. You know, it wasn't up in the air. It was
exactly.
It was a very matter-of-fact, factual thing. I drew the house. I went in. I, you know, went upstairs, looked at the wallpaper, told you. You know, it was very, it was a totally different experience for me. And I thought that was really good that you could be so different, even though they're both meditative and out of your body kind of things. They're so different, you know. So yeah. So I've been doing it a while, and I, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And the next time you do this, you should do it on shape shifting. We should work on that a little.
Yeah, especially since Charlie was the hawk or whatever, or the raven, one in black.
I think he thought he had wings. I remember that. But
yeah.
The thing that gets me is he didn't know that. You know, he looked down and he was shocked.
Yeah.
You know, so that tells you, you know, it's coming from a place of truth, you know, within him. It's not like it's not like he read a book and he thought this should be the next step. He told us what the next step was before we figured it out. So,
really?
He's right up there. So.
Yep. Well,
does anybody
your mind, you know, and not everybody can do that.
Does anybody do it other than when they're with you? Because I haven't tried it at home at all. But, does anybody just try doing it? Because I used to do it by myself before I met you, you know, years and years ago. Like, would you even say that's a good idea?
Oh, yeah. Working on it, that's why some of the things I teach when we're doing it in class, you're able to work on that on your, you know, on your own at home. So especially getting into that, relaxed state, but being able to work on it, like I said, best not to do it before you're going to bed because you're going to fall asleep, especially if you're somebody who's tired, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but yeah, most of us do it when we're sleeping. But if you're really trying to work on it where you can control it, you don't want to do it where you're going to fall asleep. So, you know, yeah, it's good if you can, you know, work on it at home. And it's just having that relaxed energy where you know You don't have the fear. You know you don't have to worry about not coming back. What happens is most people get so frustrated because they can't feel like they can separate, that they're so busy concentrating on that they can't do it, or that they weren't able to do it, or that of not frustration, that once you do that, you completely block, you know, your mind. And that's why I said your mind dictates everything.
There are guided meditations for astral travel.
Oh, yeah. There's a guided meditation for everything on YouTube.
Which I've seen a couple of, but I tried a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah, any of that stuff is good to work at home. I mean, we like doing it in the group setting because we get to hear what each other got, and, you know, sometimes somebody's found a different technique that worked for them, and we share a lot.
Oops. I lost you.
Do it at home.
No, you didn't. You're still there.
Oh, okay. I came back. All right. If you're good at astral projection, are you going to be good at remote viewing, or vice versa, or are they two separate? They're separate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people are. It's easier for them to remote view than it is for them to astral travel, mainly because of that separation from the body, from the physical body to the astral plane. Where in remote viewing, for some reason in their subconscious, they feel a little more comfortable with it, and they do it sometimes more like as if they're getting psychic information or asking for a message like that. So there are people who are able to remote view easier, and yet I know people who can actually travel in a second, not even, you know, they don't even really have to try that hard like you. You're one of those, but you've been doing it a long time. You're working on our skills. It's just a constant repetition of doing it, and you know we learn that in any job. It's that way. The more you do it, the more the better you become at it. And it's no different with learning, working on your abilities. And I mean, obviously, we're using this stuff every single day, so you're going to be completely different from somebody who's just kind of playing around with it.
I also find that you plateau, or at least I do. You know, I get to a point and then I stay there for a real long time, and then something happens and it's like a big jolt, and then you're all of a sudden able to do a little bit more. So I felt like I was able to do so much more last night than I'd been able to do for weeks and weeks.
That was great. You were great. I know, your mouth dropped.
Yeah.
It
was good. And I'm going to play the lottery, too, because those numbers were really good.
Yeah.
My husband was, let's go pick some lottery numbers.
You know, I had a friend tell me a story a while ago. He was on an airplane to the West Coast, and the woman sitting next to him was able to do astral travel and remote viewing. And so she took hold of his arm, and she kind of went into a meditative state. And when she came back, she said, "I was just at your house," and described his house and everything in his house. He said he couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Just out of curiosity, how does that come up in conversation when you're on a plane?
I have no idea.
By the way, I astral travel.
Well, he's into all that kind of stuff, and so he does a lot of the Indian ceremonies, you know, the Native American ceremonies.
Uh-huh.
He has friends that belong to different tribes, and he goes to the sweat lodges, and he does stuff like that. So they were probably talking about that kind of stuff on the airplane, but I remember he said he was absolutely shocked because she described everything in his house. So.
Well, I'm not that good.
Yeah, well, not either.
Yeah, astral travel is one of the things that people are a little like, yeah, right. Like, I mean, you could tell somebody you're psychic. You can tell somebody you're an energy worker. You could even tell them, you talk to dead people. But when you sit there and tell them that you float out of your body and you're going to so-and-so's house, and you could usually they're like, yeah, okay, you're way out there. So unless you're really, like, into the metaphysical, and you have an open mind, and you understand it, and you know about it, it isn't something that's easy to just kind of talk to people about or tell them that you do it. And especially, you know, everyday people that aren't, you know, they might be open to some of this stuff, but that's definitely one, you know, that's why I say it's a more difficult skill to achieve for some people, but there's so many different things you can do once you're using your ability. Such cool stuff.
Well, when I was recuperating, when I was recuperating from an operation, I had a woman was staying with me, and she was from Europe, from Austria, and I remember her telling me that she regularly floated out of her body, and this was 25 years ago before I ever thought any of this about it. And I remember looking at her like she had four heads and going, oh, okay, you know, like that. And, you know, lo and behold, these days we're all floating outside our body here doing this stuff.
We're still doing it.
But times have changed. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Is your husband Dave, is he able to do any of this stuff? You know?
He's not really. If he does, he's very quiet about it. I think he's able to meditate really well these days, you know. He's very...
The remote viewing, though, last night, he saw, you know, the farm and, like, he did well with the remote viewing.
Well, I think he had a lot off his plate, and his mind was clear and receptive,
yeah.
And, you know, it was a good night for him for a lot of reasons, you know. Well,
yep. Yeah, we had a good class.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if anybody listens to this that's in the area, but it wouldn't be a bad idea if they, you know, sort of signed up for a couple of these. Because we had a girl there that had never done anything, remember? And she was
great.
And she did great. She was like, I'm here for the ride, you know, hold on. it worked out nicely. And it's nice to see somebody that's just blossoming, doing stuff like this, because that's the way we all were, you know. Well, me a year and a half ago, maybe, with a lot of this, and it's like seeing yourself doing. It's like seeing yourself wake up when you see somebody else awakening to this. It's a good feeling, you know.
I think once people start to realize what they can do, they're a lot of times they're surprised at how well they do some things, and then it kind of sparks their excitement for doing others, especially if they've never been able to do anything. Or maybe they knew they could do a little, but they didn't realize how good they were at it.
Right, and like Mercedes came so far so quick, you know? Really, when it's just...
Mercedes is not here today. We're free to talk about
Mercedes is on vacation.
Yeah, she's listening.
Most likely.
And you know, Dana does meditations, and she'll say to me, like with Shamanic Journey, she'll meditate to find an answer for a question for me or a. You know, so there's a lot of astral projection with that, with looking for answers for things, I think, anyway. So it's really, I think it's a great thing to put into your life if you're able to do it, or at least try to put it into your life. You know, stretch your psyche a little bit to accommodate it. So
even if you want to do it to kind of work on things for yourself, some people... want to work on, you know, physical things that are wrong with them, and they use their astral hands to work on their physical body from that plane, which is supposed to be so much stronger and more powerful. So I know
I was reading that. I think that's amazing, you know. I never even thought of doing that, and I read that the other day. I was like, oh my goodness, what a great avenue, because that's the whole idea, is your mind creates your reality. Everything,
yep.
Like one of your first shows about how important your belief system is and what you believe in and how it will make whatever you believe in a reality. So it's all so tied in.
Well, I think the biggest difficulty people have is
other people, you know, what their opinions are and their viewpoints. And a lot of times when somebody's able, has abilities, or maybe they never showed their abilities in front of you know, to that degree in front of other people, and then they start to have them, those people are like, yeah, okay, they're crazy, or they have just have a lot to say, and the judgment. And the one thing I say through every episode we have is there is no judgment when you're truly in the metaphysical, because you can't. You can't judge anything. You can't have any judgment. And not allowing any outside influences or anything to distract you from you developing your ability is really important. So I have had instances where it's been very difficult for people who are in relationships where the other person isn't as into this type of stuff. And so when they're trying to share what they're learning and doing that kind of thing, it kind of brings them down, and they end up having like a little block in some areas. And it's really you being able to kind of take yourself and literally you step out and you just put like a bubble around yourself and or a box or whatever you want to do. And or as we tell Charlie, he has his own little room. And yeah, go there, and that's what you're completely focused on, just that. And you're not worried about what anybody says. You're not worried about anything going on in your life at that time. And that's the emptying the mind part. You're literally emptying everything. People, your work, you know, your family, everything's got to come out when you're trying to focus on your awareness.
And it's also important to surround yourself with people that support that. So
absolutely,
it's not bad to get involved in a group that regularly does it, because we all support each other. We all, you know, say, that's a great idea, you know, or what you did was wonderful. And, like, you need like minds sometimes to feel good about something. So that's why Trinity is a great place to be for that, you know. You should go online, Jackie.
What's that? I think joining Trinity has like changed my life really. It's like I can't imagine it without this and coming here. I've learned so much the last 3 years. It's unbelievable. I've like, you know, I just feel so much more comfortable in the universe, I think.
I just feel comfortable here.
And excited about things, you know. It's like excited about the possibility of things, and it makes me remember things that I did as a kid,
yeah,
and things I was starting to explore, but I didn't have anybody to talk to about.
Mm-hmm.
And some things did happen to me, but there was nowhere to go with it. I didn't know who to talk to.
Right.
And there's always somebody, everybody here understands, you know, has either been there or knows about it, and is like, will help you with it.
I think it's our growth, even as our own personal, our own personal growth as well. Like, no matter what we do, we're always growing in some way. And not even just in our abilities, but sometimes some of the exercises we're doing or things we're learning about ourselves, it kind of helps us to see things that have happened in our past. And, like, we look at it with a different perspective. We're able to have insight into people, even situations from our past, and even our present. Like, even people who have issues going on in their lives now, how they're, like, your reaction at that point is not the same as it would have been, you know, for myself even years ago. You know, when you have that knowing and that and a relaxed energy, then, you know, you might need to vent and you might need to get things off your chest, but then all of a sudden you get to that place where you're like, okay, you know, I have a knowing that things are just going to, they're going to go the way they're supposed to. You know, like, you know you have the right intention, or you know you have, there's a reason everybody has this. And especially if you're developing them, they're the reason at that point in your life where you were meant to develop them. You would not have been led to do that, or have that you know, that eagerness to do it. It's almost like a calling, and that's what I've always been told with this kind of stuff.
It makes you more sensitive. It makes you more sensitive to people around
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
You feel, you know, so that you can, like, just say the right thing at the right time to somebody. Mm-hmm. Or else get out of their way. There's more of the other, you know. Either one is a very valuable thing to do. And it's like, it makes me less, like, less squatty.
Yeah. Well, because I don't think people who don't do this kind of stuff don't look at things like we do. And I know I said it yesterday, too, but we're spiritual energies in a physical vehicle.
And not everybody looks at it that way. You know, we're in physical form, but we're a spiritual energy. And you know, sometimes we get lost. We get lost in just the existence. And that's why when people are in that place, everything's about the drama and the material and the things like that, where we're completely different. We're about, you know, the people. We're about the love. We're about the, we're one. Like, how many,
trying
how
to reconnect
here,
we're to what we
one.
Really are.
Yep.
You know, I was reviewing the tape of us from the other night, and we were in the little room in the back there all laughing so heartily, you know, and having enjoying each other's company while we had all of our ghost hunting things, and all the lights were going on and off. It was as if our energy, our positive energy, was meeting with all the spiritual energy, and you realize that everything is like that. It's all, you know, Diane's laugh is like beyond compare. You can't even, her laugh is so hearty, and it was on the tape, and then as she's laughing, the lights on the K2 meters are going crazy, you know, and you realize how everything is just spiritual energy, and that's what we are, and that's what we are interested in improving, you know, with each other and for ourselves, too.
Just for some trivia, Diane won a laughing contest once.
Are you kidding?
No.
I can't imagine how.
Well, my goodness. Like a school thing, but they were having, it wasn't like a talent show or anything, but they had different categories of people doing strange stuff. But anyway, they had a laughing contest, and one of the categories was for the most ridiculous laugh. And I won, and I wasn't even in the contest. I was in the audience. Oh, yeah. I was so humiliated, I never laughed again.
That's not true.
Once they said, you really should smile more, because I was just like not having anything to do with that. But I think I still have that ribbon. I have it.
Well, we all enjoy it, so there you go.
Well, you know, then I got older, and then I didn't care what people thought anymore, so I started laughing again.
Isn't it great what age will do for you?
Yeah.
We're getting better with age.
When I was in California, I used to go to this Japanese restaurant all the time that was near the naval base that I was stationed at. And this woman had like a nickname for me. She would always, I forget what it was, but she'd always call me this name. And one day I asked her what it meant, and it was She Who Laughs.
She Who Laughs.
She Laughs.
Right. You know,
he's no.
Somebody's uncontrollable
laughing. Oh, no, I don't think so. They had good Japanese food.
Plug for that, please.
But, you know, the last time I was in Oxnard, the restaurant was gone, the base was gone.
Still there.
I was still there.
Your residual energy. So now you can astral project there.
I have to get out of my body first. Haven't been able to do that at will yet, though.
Yeah, that's the toughest part.
Yeah, I haven't either. So it's like I saw the end of my fingers.
Well, you had, Charlie, what took you, what, 3 times before you got
only 3 times? That you know fast ever?
Well, maybe it might have been more. Yeah, I know
not
he
not much, but that
he
was at least.
Yeah, but then you did it by just, you didn't try to just slowly come out. You shot yourself
Popped out. Yeah.
You
know, it's kind of funny because you don't know what's going to be in your mind. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the power that you have. You don't know how to control it. It's like something new. It's like when you're learning how to drive a car. You know, you step on the gas, you step on it too much. You step on the brake, you step on it too much. You don't step on it enough. Mentally, you know, you sit there and you have no idea with how much power you have in your mind. Mm-hmm. You have no power, no control at all over it, except for the fact that you know it's going to take you on a great ride. And when you finally do start to exercise that side of it where, you know, you do psychic development or, you know, you come in for energy work and you can feel the difference. There's anything that's going to broaden your horizons. I mean, I had a very narrow life. You know, everything was basically two-dimensional. You know, everything that was above me and in front of me, and that's what I wanted. That's all I saw. And then all of a sudden, you know, you start opening your mind up a little bit. You know, I'm 61 years old. I'm not, you know, I'm not a 25-year-old guy that sits there and says, oh, I want to get into this, or I want to get into that, or I want to try this. You know, I'm not there, okay? I had a very structured life. I'm a banker. I hate that, but I
work for a bank. As long as you're not a bankster.
I work in investments, and, you know, there's not too many things duller than that. But the idea here is that, you know what your mind can do in those areas. But when you start stretching it into the areas that you never used before, when you start using energies that you never had, all of a sudden you start moving into unforeseen territories. And unless, you know, you have somebody that's going to guide you through it, you don't know what to expect. And the first time it happened, it was like, wow, I was looking down. And, you know, all of a sudden I was moving around and I was like, gee, this is phenomenal. And it was so exciting that I didn't know where I wanted to go. You know, it was almost like, well, I'm here. Then now what? You know, what should I do now? And it was almost like the kid in the candy store where, you know, there's 42,000 different types of candies and I like them all. Which one do I grab? And all of a sudden you say, well, it's time to come back now. Take 3 deep breaths and open your eyes. And you're like, what? Leave me alone. But,
hey, I just got here.
Yeah, you know, I could have spent the whole night just, you know, hovering around, just looking at things. But it's just, it's an amazing thing. And
well, when you were the bird, did you feel yourself popping out of your body?
No.
Or did all of a sudden you just saw yourself?
No, what was amazing was that when we started doing our astral travel, I didn't even realize I was out of my body. That was the time where all of a sudden I was just out. And for some reason, I brought my hands up from my, I don't know, maybe you said look at your hands, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought my hands up in front of me, and they were shiny, shiny black feathers. And I'm moving my fingers, and the feathers are moving like they're my fingers. Well, on each hand. And I didn't know it was shape-shifting. I had no idea what was talking about. I'm sitting there going, what the hell? You know, I got wings. And I'm thinking, but they're black wings, they're not white wings, you know. And then all of a sudden that goes, changes the whole perspective. But then I just thought it was so fantastic because, you know, I'm fascinated with birds, you know. The idea that it was so shiny, you know, little shiny objects always grab my attention. I have ADHD, whatever. And so whatever shiny and sparkly, I go towards. And it was just amazing. And then when you said come back, I don't know, we could have been meditating for half an hour going through that astral travel, it seemed like seconds.
Yeah.
Because when I looked down and I saw them shimmering black feathers, it was just, it was awe-inspiring. It was like when you, the first time you look at a beautiful crystal and it catches your eye and you get lost in it. You know, then you come back and you look at your watch and it's like 10 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize you were actually looking into it. Or the first time you fall in love, you know, that person, you could spend 3 days with that person, it seems like 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, it was just that type of an experience. And it's just something, you know, I feel terrible for the people that don't at least try to do this. Because they're missing out on, you know, you talk about life's little pleasures. There are so many little pleasures that you have in life. There are so many other things in the world that can really screw you up, knock you down, beat you up, make you feel like you know somebody did something in your cornflakes that they shouldn't have.
Right.
You know, it's all of those things. And then you sit down and you sit there and say, astral travel, and people laugh at you. And then all of a sudden, if they try it and they go somewhere, now's the best thing going.
That's the best thing like that.
That is.
I have never done anything. Or they're in development, and all of a sudden they get some spirit popping to them, and they're literally they find ways of girls and go.
No pun intended.
Holy shit! Did you hear that? Like, you know, literally say it like that. They're like,
well,
they're like, well, I was like, yep.
I wanted to ask you about that because I don't know if we had discussed it. Maybe I just wasn't listening. But, okay, you do the astral travel. We do the meditation beforehand. Are there crystals or incense that can heighten the experience? Is there something that can help you?
Everybody's different. Some people actually do like to make, like, a little shrine or a little, you know, altar. Or they, like, do it in a room where they have their crystals. Like, for me, I like working in my room because I do. I have all my crystals. I have my little skull next to my table. Like, I have all this, all, you know, that kind of stuff. So, for me, that I like that energy. Doesn't mean somebody can't do it without that, but a lot of people do have specific crystals. I know Vera wears, you know, specific ones right on her that she likes that help her, you know, with her awareness or her mediumship or whatever. So yes, there's definitely specific things and, you know, energies with the crystals that will help people.
Can
you know,
spirits help you?
Me? I wear a tourmalated quartz, and I wear moldavite, which I don't know if anybody knows what that is.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
Moldavite is a meteor, there's one place in Russia or the Ukraine where it's mined, and it attracts, well, I know it attracts orbs, but I think it's a spiritual stone, and every time I wear it or I've used it, I've had experiences with being more in contact with spiritual beings. So, and the tourmalated quartz is a protection stone. So, I, like, on one hand, I want to be protected, and the other hand, I'm inviting them in. So, I want to be protected from... What? It's like, you know, I don't want the negative stuff. I only want the good stuff. So, yeah, and I wear that around my, so.
Yeah, and for some people, I like to do the white light protection prayer before they even do anything like that, whether it be traveling or, you know, mediumship or any of that. I absolutely recommend that, or calling in whoever it is you want to protect you and, you know, that type of thing. So.
I never feel like I need to do that because I always feel like they're there. You know, I don't have to call them.
Sorry, people.
I know they're there, you know. So I never remember to do that. I mean, if everybody's doing it, I'll do it. But it's just that, oh, yeah, they're there. I know. I don't have to call them. They know what I'm doing. Some of them don't approve, but they know what I'm doing.
As you know what you're doing.
You got smudging.
Sage is good for cleansing anything, so and keeping away negative energies or dispelling any negative energies. I mean, I sage every day, and I sage myself every day. So, you know, in fact, there are some people when I work on them, they like to be saged when I work on them, and I do.
That's the best
Diane
part.
there are certain people, they want to be cleansed, like, through and through. So, you know, I would recommend you being in a setting or in a place where you are, you need to feel comfortable and you need to feel relaxed and you need to feel protected and, you know, you need to be in that good place. You know, and some people, they don't even need to do it when they're home. They can go sit by the lake where it's nice and quiet under a tree and do this kind of stuff. Water is very cleansing. You know, if somebody's drawn to water, there's a reason. It's your happy place. And there's a reason it is because it cleanses your soul and you feel good there. And it's very good to go by the water when you have a lot going on and you know, you need to dump some of that stuff. And sometimes it is hard to empty your mind. So you want to try to do that as much as possible. You know, I mean, before we do a meditation, we always say that, you know, leave your stuff in the basket and you don't need to pick it up when you leave. But, you know, there are people who have a hard time doing that. And that's another thing for conditioning your mind.
So you have to be in a good place before you astral travel,
it's,
or can you do it at work?
It's better if you are.
Can you do it at work? I'd love to do it at work.
I don't think you'd be able to.
Well, I just wanted to say sometimes when I'm at work, I astral travel to Bora Bora.
There you go.
And it's just for a couple of seconds, and people look at me and I go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm back.
So, Mr. Dreamer.
That's it. It works wonders. But some people, you know, when you're talking about water itself, you know, whether it's the ocean or it's a river or it's a lake or whatever, you know, I don't know anybody who won't tell you that if they walk by water somewhere, wherever it is, that it they don't get a calming effect of something.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, that's mm-hmm. just the way it is.
Especially
know?
Salt water.
The sound. Yeah.
It's like the first yep. element of your...
Yes, mm-hmm. it is. You're right.
Your essence.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, where we are and what we're doing and where you want to go. And with this, you know, you can go just about anywhere you want. And it's important, like I said, to just make sure that you're doing it with the right people mm-hmm. at the right time. And
for the right reason.
For the right reason.
Right
oh,
intent.
Man, Diane. Yes, for the right
intent.
Reason. Holy cow. With the right intent, you know. If the intent's not there...
you might be able to do it, but it won't be good.
It won't be good.
It
won't be good.
It won't lie.
You know that big black thing in the basement?
Yeah.
It's coming to get you. Just mark my words. Open that door
like
tonight.
Like Dave says, bad mojo. You know?
Yeah.
Bad mojo.
Bad juju.
Yeah, try to keep
bad juju. That's another one.
We'll remember back to that, and that was not a pretty picture. But, yeah, no, it's good stuff.
So before we go for the evening, we'd just like to play you some information about Pam's essential oils.
Pam?
A Pam,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
So we'll be back
oh,
in
be
just
great.
A little while.
Thank you, Vera.
All right, bye-bye, guys.
You leaving, Vera?
Vera, are you leaving?
Well, I thought you were saying goodbye.
we're playing Pam's essential oils.
All right, I'll hold on.
Hi, this is Pam from Tell Them Pam Sent You, here to talk to you about Young Living Essential Oils. Are you using essential oils in your spiritual and healing practice? Are you using them for wellness and meditation? I know I am. Essential oils raise your vibration and can enhance your psychic experience. There's an undeniable movement going on right now, an awakening, and people are finding out what essential oils are and what they can do when they're used in their purest form. Their healing properties are undeniable. Young Living essential oils are among the top 4% in the world, never cut with synthetics or additives. They're planted, harvested, distilled, and bottled by the same company. That's the Young Living seed-to-seal process. Current labeling policy for essential oils requires that for a bottle to say 100% pure, get ready for this, it only has to contain 5% essential oil. Can you ingest your lavender or frankincense? Take a look at your bottles. If they say do not ingest, not for human consumption, do not ingest. And don't put it on your skin. Use Young Living therapeutic grade essential oils. They truly are 100% pure, free of chemicals, pesticides, and heavy metals. You deserve the best. Your clients deserve purity, not oils cut with fragrance. What's in your wellness kit? Can you apply your peppermint and your lavender now freely, knowing the difference? Please contact me for more information. Pam Jordan at VibrantSense.com. That's www.PamJordan.VibrantSense.com. And look me up on Facebook. Look for Tell Them Pam Sent You.
Okay, and that was Pam from Essential Oils, and you can also get the essential oils here at Trinity Metaphysical.
Yes.
Pam's great. She really is, you know. She's got
so
a really
Vera.
Essential.
She smells good.
Yeah.
You still there, Vera?
Yes, I am. And
hey.
The peppermint is great. The peppermint is great for headaches.
Yes.
Have
you tried
the peppermint?
The,
the peppermint is the only thing I tried, but when Jackie had it. You put it on your temples when you have a headache, and it really it
yeah.
helps you.
Yeah. Oh. Good for sinuses, too. I tried the Panaway, which I already told you about with my nose. and your back. It's great for back. And then the Valor is good for aligning everything in the body. There's a lot of them. I like a lot of them. The Thieves is great for keeping, you know, great if you're ill or if you want to keep illnesses away. I actually have that one going in the store all day.
So what are we going to be doing next week?
Next week we're going to talk about auras. And what I'm going to do next week is actually whoever comes here, I'm actually going to read their aura on the air. I'm going to tell them what color they have and what that means. A lot of times with your aura you can pick up, you know, what's going on with them physically, but also, you know, things. I'll get intuitively what going on with them as well. So Obviously, that's something I have to do in person. But, I mean, I can do with photos and things as well. So you guys will be my guinea pig.
You see the black and gray one around me right now after
and our work changes a lot, too, depending on what's going on with us. So,
have you had any experience with auras, Vera?
Yes. It seems like every week I've had something, whatever you're doing. But I had my – they have a camera that takes your aura.
Yeah.
And I was at some place and I had my aura taken. But my one very dear friend has always seen auras from when she was like a young girl. So she's just used to seeing everyone and everything's auras. I guess that's how she goes through life. And before I got the picture taken, she looked at me. I said, "So what color is it?" And she told me. And then I had the picture taken. It was the same color. So I thought that was really interesting. But I can't see it. I don't know. I've never been able to see people's or things' auras. So that's one thing that's always escaped me. Has anybody there ever seen auras?
Yeah, Dana, we actually have worked on them. But the reason we're going to do that episode is because we're going to be having a class coming up where we're going to work on them again. And some of the people here have actually done aura work and were able to see color.
Vera, don't you remember when we went to the event?
I know. I was just thinking of that. That's why I said Dana can see an aura.
Yes. I saw Kim's aura, and I saw the aura over the woman sitting next to Jackie, who was about 10 rows ahead of us, going over to the right.
Dana sees mine.
And Jackie. It's like big. It was like, it was about this far above your head. It was about, I mean.
About a foot?
About a foot, yes. Above her head. It was a big one.
And I knew she saw it because it's the same way everybody says it, and the same color.
Yeah.
You gave me that Black Mirror once, and it took a little bit of time when I was home in the dark, and then all of a sudden I got the white, and it just kind of flashed, and it startled me so much I kind of went, bah, and dropped the mirror.
Because
I've been sitting there for a long time and a long time and a long time.
Yeah, you know, we can talk about that.
I've seen Taylor. Because I worked with Taylor, she was my partner in one of these things, and another woman came in here who was having a lot of trouble in her life. I saw her.
Yeah.
And it was dark, it was black and murky, and I saw it distinctively. And I didn't tell her, because I didn't want to share that with her, because she probably already had enough problems. But I talked to you later about it, and you said a couple of other people have seen the same thing.
And what will be neat about that is to see what you guys see, like if we are working on that, you know. But you know, some people see different auras from others, meaning somebody might pick up something out, like something in their energy field, or I mean, obviously we have a lot of layers. So there are some people that see a certain color around somebody, but they might be picking up that part of the person, where somebody else might pick up another color, and that's more on a physical part. They might pick up the color where they're having an issue physically, where somebody else might be picking up the part where maybe they're picking up the spiritual color. So do you know which way your friend does it, Vera? What does she usually pick up?
I don't know. I think she's seeing them 24/7, quite frankly.
The basic aura?
She sees the colors. I have no idea. When I've ever asked her, you know, I was shocked. You know, again, the first time she told me I wasn't into this, and, you know, you go through the, okay, my girlfriend sees auras. Oh, my goodness. I'll still be her friend. You know, I'll just ignore that she sees colors. And, you know, and that kind of thing. And so, because she said it to me very offhandedly one day, you know. And then I realized that that's a gift that she's had for a long, long time. Sandy, if you're listening. And, you know, I never asked her about the process, but I know that I feel auras when I'm working on people, you know. I can feel them, but I can't see anything.
We'll talk about
all
of that stuff.
Oh, all right. Okay.
That's what we'll do next week. So, and you know, it's definitely feeling them and seeing them. And like I said, some people usually see more than one color, so because there's usually a bunch of things going on with people, but... and feeling them is just the same way, especially healers. That's what we work with.
So next week we will be discussing auras.
Yep, understanding them, how to read them, what the colors mean.
And live demonstrations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's it for this evening. hope to hear from you all again next week. And so, good night from Among the Realms. And this is Diane.
Jackie.
Dana.
Charlie.
Good night,
and
everyone. Come in with us, Vera.
All right. I'll talk to y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye.